Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Psalm 17. We're coming near the end of the psalm. We're at the third division, although it's the fourth study of the psalm because we had an initial study, an introduction to the psalm. So that took up one study, and then we went on to look at the divisions. I have indicated to you that basically there are four divisions in the psalm. And this morning, the third division, we're going to look at the picture given us here of the enemies that face the people of God. Now, let me just repeat that the Bible is ever relevant. It's never out of date. That's what the word relevant is related to. The Bible's up to date. Yes, we're looking at that which was written 3,000 years ago. That's how long ago it was that David was alive and writing many of the Psalms. 3,000 years. Now, there's a lot of things that change over 3,000 years. David never saw a bicycle, nor did he ever strap on a pair of roller skates. And as for a car, he never heard of the like. Oh yes, there's a lot of things that have changed. But the spiritual battles that he was engaged in back then, they're still the same battles today. The enemies of God and his people haven't altered. I want you to recognize that. The devil would have people believe that the Bible's out of date. Don't bother about it. It has nothing to say to you today, and that's a lie. And the reason the devil says that is because in the Bible, you have a picture of the devil and his antics that really undermine what it is he's trying to do. So, as we look at this psalm and see the picture that's presented here of the enemies that face David, they're the same enemies that face you and me today. Same enemies. So, this is a most wonderful thing that we should be given this picture, because it creates for the enemy a great disadvantage. I don't know if you've ever watched nature programs. I frequently do, and I frequently mention them to you. But oftentimes I have watched the lion looking out on the herd of buffalo or antelope, whatever it thinks is what it would like to have for lunch. And they creep up through the long grass, and they fit in very well with the long grass because of the colour of their fur and so forth. And they creep up and peep up every so often above the grass to see what's happening. And they creep up and they creep up, and then an antelope spots the lion. And they give out that warning bark, and suddenly the whole herd is up and away, racing away into the distance, far faster than a lion can run. And the old lion, you just see it sitting up and looking out disappointed, and probably thinking, how did that antelope see me and know that here I am about to grab one of them? Ugh! I wish he hadn't seen me. Well, let me tell you, the devil's up to similar fits of discontentment and disappointment. Because, you see, the Bible enables us to spot him, see the ambush that he's setting up, and we're able to escape. And you devil, he's grinding his teeth, if he has teeth to grind. Grinding them in disappointment. That's why you have a Bible. God allows you through the Bible to see what the devil's up to. So here we have a picture of the enemies of you and me today, as well as God's people generally. Now we're looking at the verses 10, 11, and 12. Maybe we'll just read them. Verse 10 of Psalm 17. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in their secret places. You'd nearly think David was watching the same nature programs as me, wouldn't you, when you read those words? But David would have been well aware, because there were lions in Israel, and he would have been well aware of the tactic of the lion as it tried to trap its prey. And knowing the tactics of the lion, David said, that's just the way the devil is, the way the enemies that I face are. They have the same nature. And so we want to look at that today, because we're facing enemies today. And again, I refer to nature, the herd of antelopes. Not every antelope will be watching the young ones. Oh, they're skipping about and running around. You know the way they are. Just full of life and bounce. And they're not watching. But some of the older antelopes are watching. And it's the older ones that give the warning bark. I think that's right to say that's the sound that the antelope makes when it's sounding an alarm. And then the young ones become aware of the danger. They run with the rest of the herd. Now you might be bouncing around and jumping around and enjoying life and not a thought about an enemy. But there are enemies, and they're your enemies, and they will harm you. And I'm here today, as it were, to bark and let you know about the enemy. And paint the picture of them as given in God's word. I'm relying on what God tells me about the enemy. I'm not making it up. I'm not inventing it. I'm not telling you from my very, very limited knowledge. I'm telling you about the enemy as God has told us and informed us. All right, that's the theme. You will notice first and foremost what David says here. And he's speaking by the inspiration of God the Holy Ghost. He's passing on to us what God told him. So, again, I emphasize the authority of what it is we're looking at. It's not me that's issuing this warning, but rather I'm repeating the warning that God gave to David. Look then, first of all, at verse 10. They are enclosed in their own fat. That's a strange way to put it. Now, I'm sure that all the enemies of David were not big fat men. I don't think that's what we're being told here. But I believe that what we have is a picture of the fact that these men live to satisfy their fleshly appetite. They have no interest in heaven. They have no interest in God. They have no interest in eternal matters. They live only to satisfy their own desires. Like someone sitting down at a table and just gobbling up everything that's on the table. No restraint. Just eat all they see. They're glutton. They're glutton. And the enemies that David is facing are men who are gluttons for the ways of the world, the wickedness of the world, the sins of the world, the evil pursuits of the world. That's all they live for. And because of that, they hated David, who was a holy person. David's witness and life exercised, as it were, a restraint upon them and indicated to them that, oh, you're living wrong, you have the wrong emphasis in your life. And consequently, they didn't like that, because somebody who's a glutton, they don't want to be told, you shouldn't eat so much. They don't want to be told that. Go away and mind your own business. I'll eat what I like. And that's why these men hated David. We're his enemies. Paul uses a similar phrase, you know, over in the New Testament. He speaks of those whose God is their belly. In other words, whatever their belly told them, they did. They obeyed the baser desires of their nature. They lived to satisfy their baser desires. That's what Paul's speaking of. And it's just exactly the same with these enemies of David. They live for themselves. They live for themselves. As he says in verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat, gluttonous. We need to recognize that those who oppose us hate us because we say there's a God. We say there are eternal matters you should think about. We say there's a hell to be shunned. And they don't want to hear that. They just want to live for this world. The second thing I want you to notice that David tells us here is that these enemies of David, the first weapon that they use against David is their mouth. Look at what it says. Verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They attack David with their words. The devil has ever used his words to oppose God and his people. The Lord Jesus said, the devil is a liar. Every time he opens his mouth, there's only one thing comes out, a lie. The devil cannot speak the truth. It would choke him. No, he's a liar. And you remember when he spoke, the very first words we read of him speaking, back in the book of Genesis, when he approached Eve, and he told lies to Eve. Now she was foolish, and she listened to him. She listened to him, and that's when this world's woes began. The devil's lies always lead to trouble for the people of God. And David knew that. His enemies tried to undermine him always and get him thrown off the throne and defeated as the king of Israel. And the first thing they did was attack him with their words. Told lies about him, slandered him. Tried to get people to believe that which was not true about David. Still the same today. In the old time, the first weapon that was used in warfare, the bow and arrow. Because you see, you could stand away, way, way, way back, hundreds of yards away, and fire arrows at your enemies. Today, well, if you listen at all to the news or keep up to date with what's happening in Ukraine, you will know that Russia presently is employing basically a bow and arrow, only it's missiles fired from way, way back in their own territory, out over the border, and striking the cities of Ukraine, killing people, destroying all before it. And today, in Ukraine, there are very few people who have electricity. We come in, we switch on the lights, we never think about it. We never think about it. How do they work? Where does the power come? We never think about it. We're so used to it. But the poor people in Ukraine have neither light nor heat. And many of them haven't even homes because they've been blasted by the bows and arrows of modern warfare, the missile. Well, that's what the devil does. He fires off, first and foremost, the missiles of slander, the missiles of lies, as he attacks the people of God. You must be ever on your guard against the lie of the devil. You must ever be on your guard. Now, if I might go back to the picture I was painting there of the arrow's almost entirely silent. Somebody fired an arrow at you, you wouldn't hear it until it hit you. And then you wouldn't so much as hear it as feel it. Well, the devil's lie is very secretive. And you have to be very much on your guard to pick it out, to notice it, to be aware of it. And one of the tasks of a good preacher is to warn God's people of the lies of the devil. Every day a preacher could issue a warning against the lies of the devil. The newspapers are filled with the lies of the devil. As they report upon what this man said, what the other man said, very often they are but the lies of the devil that are being reported. And the preacher must warn Christians, beware, that's a lie. That's not the truth. That man might say, this is what God says, but he's telling lies. Oh, we have to be aware of this weapon that's used, the first weapon that's used by the devil. As David says, with their mouth, they speak proudly. That is, they speak with great confidence. They speak with great authority. They speak as if they were God. And that's what deceived Eve, you know. The devil came to her and he spoke with such authority. He spoke with great pride, with great assurance. And she swallowed it all in. Oh, he must know what he's talking about. No, we must ever be on our guard against the lie of the devil. Then again, notice that David tells us here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, verse 11, they have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. That first phrase there, they have compassed us, they have surrounded us in our steps. They've set traps for us, in other words. If I might just mention the Ukraine war again, Ukraine has taken back quite a bit of territory that the Russians had invaded. Well, they've beaten the Russians back, but they have to be very careful because the Russians left behind all sorts of booby traps. When the Ukrainian soldier comes to a house that is empty, the Russians have been chased out of it, he can't just walk up and open the door because they would have the door booby trapped so that if he were to open the door, it would set off a bomb. So the Ukrainian soldier has to be very, very careful. It always has been like that in warfare. And it's just like that in the spiritual warfare. We have got to be careful of the devil's traps. Very careful of the devil's traps. I think I better press on to another point. And that is, David tells us just how dangerous our enemies are. Look at what he says. They're more dangerous than perhaps we think. We go back to verse 9. From the wicked that oppress me. That word oppress means to kill. The very first time it appears in the Bible is in Judges, the chapter 5. And it refers there in verse 27 to a man being slain. And he drops down dead. And that's the same word as oppress, dead. So David here is saying the wicked would kill me. That's how dangerous they are. From my deadly enemies. He repeats this same description. The enemies that face us, boys and girls, are deadly. Are deadly. You know, in this country, we don't have snakes. We don't have snakes. You likely have never seen a snake. Apart from a picture. I was watching a little video, news video, the other day. It was taken by a house camera, you know, a security camera on a house that was just pointing down into the garden of this house. And there was a little boy in a paddling pool. It was out in Australia. And he was enjoying himself splashing about because the weather's very warm there compared to here. And he was enjoying splashing about and his mother was sitting over on a chair reading as the little boy, her son, was playing about. And suddenly she leapt up, run over, grabbed him out of the pool, and retreated toward the house. Why? Because that woman spotted something. And then it was pointed out that going up the edge of the garden was a brown snake, the most dangerous snake in Australia, and probably right up there as the most dangerous in the world. It was almost moving as quick as a dog or a cat, very fast. Mother recognized the danger that snake could be over in a very short time and bite her son and it would kill him. Oh, how watchful she was. How wise she was. She recognized that deadly enemy. Well, listen to me, boys and girls. You face that which is even more deadly than the brown snake of Australia. The devil can sow a seed in a word that if you believe it, will result in your destruction. How dangerous our enemies are. He says, furthermore, down in verse 12, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking. That means hiding, lurking in secret places. What a wonderful picture is painted here of the enemies. How dangerous they are! As dangerous as a lion. One other thing, and it's this. I want you to notice that they have great fury. They might smile and appear very pleasant, but inwardly there's a fury, a deep, deep angry resentment and hatred for the people of God. Verse 11 would tell us that. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Now that little line, bowing down to the earth, suggests the fury because it's taken from the actions of an angry bull. Now, you've never faced an angry bull. You've never even faced a kind bull. But if you have ever seen Spanish bull fighting, and there the bull is very angry, and little wonder for they're sticking swords into the poor creature. So he's angry all right, and you'll see him bowing down his head, very low, pawing the ground with his hoof, and the head's down and the eyes are looking up at the matador, and then he charges in all his fury.
That's the picture here.
Eyes bowing down to the earth, intent on destroying us and bringing us to death. This is the enemy, boys and girls. God has painted the picture of him here. If you go to police station, the chances are on a notice board somewhere in the police station there'll be pictures. Pictures of criminals on the loose that the police want to catch. Dangerous criminals. And every policeman coming in has a look at that picture and stores it up here in his memory so that if he happens to see him, he'll know to grab him, arrest him. Well, God hung up a picture for you to see, to remember, and to avoid, and not be caught by their wickedness. These are the enemies, then, that God has revealed to us. And we should understand the evil character of them. No matter how much they smile, how much they would offer sweet words to us, we must remember what they are. Must remember what they are. God has told us what they are. And we wouldn't know the enemy, you know, if it weren't for God. We'd be deceived. Like Eve in the garden. Deceived into thinking the devil was a friend. And only God has given us this picture of the enemy, we would be deceived. Oh, take heed to God's word today, boys and girls. Those who walk according to the scriptures, they're kept safe. Kept safe. May the Lord bless his word to your heart, to all of our hearts indeed today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Lord, we commit our school afresh to thee and pray that your blessing will be upon every boy and girl and upon every teacher. Undertake for it, Lord. O God, look down upon it, preserve it, prosper it, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.